With the new year, our scripture readings talk about blessing. They're full of hope that a new year can bring a new start and new blessings. I'm always struck when I read the Old Testament how detailed the Lord gets in terms of worship. Notice today from the book of Numbers, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. So shall they invoke my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. God does care how we worship him, because worship is what opens us up to his working in our lives. When we worship, it's like we open the door of our mind and our heart and our soul and our lives to, and we say, please, come in. Worship is our cooperating with him. It's necessary and essential to have a personal prayer life. Reading the scriptures, praying the rosary, spontaneous prayer, marveling at his creation, etc. But if we don't also pray the way that he instructs us to pray, then what are we doing? Some people like to pray in nature, which is wonderful. But if that takes the place of the worship that he instructs us to do, it's kind of like we're saying, well, I prefer your creation to you. But his creation is supposed to lead us to him, not replace him. How much of a claim does God have on our life? How much can God demand of us? In addition to New Year's and the octave day of Christmas, the primary celebration for today is the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. How much did God demand of Mary? Can you and I expect anything less? That second reading from Galatians says, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, just like he did to Mary. Mary is Theotokos, literally the God-bearer. And for 431 AD, the bishops of the world met in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, for the Third Ecumenical Council. And there were struggles about who exactly Jesus Christ is. And is Mary only the mother of his humanity? Or is Jesus one person, human and divine? And that's what the Council Fathers and the Church said. No, she's not just mother of his humanity. She's the mother of the person of Jesus who is one, both human and divine. She's the God-bearer, the Theotokos, the mother of God. And with the Holy Spirit of Jesus in us, we too are a type of God-bearer. Mary, the Mother of God, had to give birth in a cave surrounded by animals. She had to lay her son, the firstborn, in a manger. She had to hear Simeon prophesy in the temple about a sword piercing her heart because of her son. She had to flee to Egypt for her life. She had to endure 3 days of desolation of the seeming hiddenness of God when he was 12 years old and in the temple. She had to endure his suffering and death on the cross and the utter desolation of his 3 days in the tomb. Did God demand a lot of Mary? Absolutely. And through all of that, she never stopped trusting him and loving him. She never spoke a cross word questioning his plan for her or for her life or his love for her. On the cross, she had to go from being the mother of God to being the mother of all of us. If you didn't know, that's a little bit of a step down. And she didn't complain at all. She didn't roll her eyes. Can you imagine Jesus saying to her, Mother, behold your son. And then Mary, like this big eye roll. from Jesus to Father Dan. What the heck is that about? But she didn't. She just trusted and loved. And Mary wasn't Theotokos for just 9 months. She was and is Theotokos for her whole life. She was and always is the God-bearer. When she said to the Archangel Gabriel, "Let it be done to me according to your word," that wasn't just a one-off, "Yeah, okay, I'll be pregnant." She meant that for the rest of her life. What'd the gospel for today say? Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. She wasn't the handmaid just once. She wasn't Theotokos just once. She wasn't docile to his will just once. She didn't suffer for him just once. She always belonged to him. And you and I are called to nothing less. So what's the Lord demanding of you, my fellow God-bearers? You and I may not be the all-pure, all-holy God-bearer that Mary is, but he still humbles himself to dwell in us. What's he demanding that you let go of? What's he commanding you to do? How much of our lives are about us? Does your work belong to you? Do your children belong to you? Does your time belong to you? Do your plans for the new year belong to you? He doesn't force us to surrender to him, but he does demand it. Someone might ask, what gives him the right to make such demands on us? Well, apart from the fact that he created us and redeemed us, we have voluntarily agreed to our baptism, which is when we became little God-bearers. He has the right to make demands of us because we belong to him. And yet he leaves us free because what he most wants from us is our love. What he most wants from us is our love. So I'm going to sit down here in just a moment, I promise. And I encourage all of us to use that little bit of quiet time to thank him for dwelling in you. And to tell him with all the sincerity and trust and love that you can, I'm your handmaid, I'm your servant. Do with me and mine whatever you will.